Since past Friday, I noted in the paper that the WSU, the 2012-2013 Final Four basketball team, got their Final Four rings. So it was an interesting article. They had, you know, mentioned Antoine Carr was there, and I remember him back in the 80s. The coach told them that, you know, they needed to put their rings in the closet, though, because they're going to try to, you know, win another ring. And I was thinking to myself, I would never take that ring off. I'd be showering with it. I'd be playing with it. And there is something powerful about WSU's run last year. Everybody recognizes that. When they won the game to go into the Final Four, because that was against Ohio State, we were just getting ready for the Easter Vigil. And I don't know if there's fireworks going off, but you heard a lot of yelling. And so it was kind of an exciting time. And they really caught the spirit of the nation, and because it was like this underdog, right? It was beating these kind of superpowers, these schools with all kinds of resources and talent. And here, time, game after game, you know, David was overcoming Goliath kind of thing. Well, in that sense, think about the Israelite people, because they were always the underdogs. They were always the one without the necessary resources to be victorious. And in the, we hear about the Amalekites under King Amalek and how they met and confronted the Amalekites. This was, remember, the Israelites just came out of Egypt and they're moving towards the Promised Land. This is their first enemy, their first opponent that they are confronted with. And the Amalekites were a ruthless people. Much more harsh than the Egyptians upon the weak Israelites. And so what happens here with this underdog, the Israelites? Well, Moses tells Joshua, who's leading the army, to choose some men, right, to go out to battle. Is that the end of the story? No, because we know that Moses then went to the highest place in the area, on top of the hill, to go and pray. And he had his arms raised in prayer. And as Moses was praying, so the Israelites were winning. They were the underdog moving forward and advancing on the Amalekites. But after some hours, Moses' arms began to fall. He was tired. And so the momentum shifted the other way. And the Amalekites were winning. And so Aaron and Hur, that's right. Yeah, that's not a name you hear every day. Aaron and Hur assist Moses, raising his arms, and the Israelites kind of take the advantage again, and then they mowed them down, all right? So it was a victory for the Israelites, absolutely, but really the victory was God's, because to the degree that that the prayer was rising up, Moses in the Uron's position, think about Moses having his arms raised in prayer, you know, and then getting weary, and then Hur and Aaron assisting him. That prayer position, prayer posture, is the same prayer posture that the priest takes during Mass. You notice that during the Eucharistic prayer, his hands are like this. So just that connection is kind of cool. And thinking about the power of that prayer bringing God's grace and assistance and strength to have victory in the battle. The Israelites had one formidable opponent after another, but they were victorious one time after another. Why? Because God was on their side. God was with them. And as long as they stayed connected with God, they were able to overcome every obstacle. We think about this underdog party, and certainly how we all like to cheer on an underdog. Not many of us want to probably be the underdog, but how we cheer on the underdog. We are that underdog in many areas of our own life. We think about maybe on a personal level of the formidable opponents that we have in the seven deadly sins, the capital sins, were tempted towards lust and gluttony and vanity and pride and anger and envy and sloth. And so we confess sins that are connected with those those capital vices. Every time that we go to confession, and so we struggle. It's a formidable opponent, and we can think about on every area of our life, every sphere of our life, every circle, we have difficult opponents. Think about as a nation, you know, our difficult opponent. We usually think about terrorists, right? So we're on alert, yellow or orange, whatever it might be. Or even as a nation to be economically stable. We think about the government shutdown. So there's constant challenges. There's constant opponents in whatever circle of life, sphere of life that we find ourselves in, whether it's personal, family, workplace, city, state, nation. And then we can think about also maybe one that we don't, a community that we don't think about too often, coming together as one and having an opponent is the parish, our parish community. Think about as a parish, what is the parish about? Well, the parish is where the people of God come together and worship. We come together at the parish, and this is where we experience church. This is where we experience church. But this is where we experience being God's chosen people. Think about who was God's chosen people in the Old Testament? The Israelites. That's what we understand ourselves as church, the people of God. And we experience that at the parish level. It's not somewhere out there. We learn in the Acts of the Apostles that the community came together to break bread, to say the prayers, to share things in common, right? So those were the first core communities. And we live that out now as parishes. And the parish, if you think about what happens at the parish, well, the first thing that happens for us is that we're baptized here, right? And think about what happens at baptism. Original sin is taken away, and we become sons and daughters of God. That's such an incredible truth that we hear so often. It goes in one ear and out the other. The magnitude of what this signifies, that we become heirs to the kingdom of heaven. We're God's beloved sons and daughters through that sacrament that we celebrate together as a parish. And then every Sunday we come here, and so for some of you every day, to receive the pledge of eternal life in the Eucharist. And then when we fall, and we have great falls at times, we come to this church to receive forgiveness and the sacrament of confession. And then most of you are married, right? You come to the parish to exchange your vows and to have your marriage blessed and received by the church. Yesterday, Amanda Wiebe and Mark Levens were married here, and Amanda had her family's been here at this parish for a long time. She went through our schools, and then coming back here to be married. But something beautiful, such a special moment in one's life, and it happens as a parish. We think about the most difficult times when we lose a loved one, a family member or a friend. Where do we go? Where do we come? We find solace and comfort in our parish church, and we lay our loved ones to rest through the parish church. We think about our formation as Christians, learning about the faith, growing in the faith, whether it's through the school, parish school, or whether through the PSR program. What we've been given there, we've been given light so that we can see that we have the light of faith, that we see things differently. We can live life with hope. It happens at the parish. We think about, for us as adults, we've had the education and the opportunities that that are surrounded by us to be re-evangelized, to rediscover the joy of faith, to have our faith revitalized, you know, whether it's through maybe it's parish book program, maybe it's parish mission, opening the Word Scripture study. There's many, many different opportunities, whereas the fire of faith is stirred up within us. And all the different ways in which we are able to use our talents and serve each other and thrive as a people of God. And think of the number of people that come here in great need, whether materially, psychologically, or spiritually, and how they're assisted here. Here's one that we might not think about as far as a parish community. And you think about parish not just as a church, but also as a people, right? So this place and this people where we come together. And how many of you have found some of your best friends here, right? Who have the same values, the same goals, the same spirit. We take that for granted, but it happens all right here at the parish. So many things, so many blessings here. And as a parish, as a people of God, living church, just as the Israelites did, we also have formidable opponents. We have Amalekites that we have to fight. And one of those has to do with keeping this place running. That financial component, that monetary component that makes allows this engine to run, to make all those things that I mentioned possible. And so that I want to share with you just a little bit today about our challenge, a financial challenge, one that within the next couple years, starting now, the parish is in need of $1.25 million. That's difficult just to say that. Whoa, $1 million. $1.25 million. We have a boiler system and a ventilation system in the church that has to be replaced immediately. You notice, maybe notice it's a little bit chilly in the church. It's going to get a lot colder. And so we just received the bids in. That's a $300,000 expense. We got the same thing over to school. And there's a list of other capital needs. As you entered the church, you noticed a thermometer, a giving thermometer, that had the accumulated amount of money that's going to be needed to cover the running, of our parish, and broken down into individual items of how we get and find that amount. So you can see that listed. You know, the pastoral council and the new evangelization council over this last 8 months has been assessing the needs, along with the building committee, assessing the needs and coming together and praying, debating, discussing, arguing about the best way to roll this out and to go forward. Why would it be so complicated? Why not just assess the needs and then present it to the people and the people can respond? Like, here's the need, now respond. Because one thing that the council and we have wanted to do is to keep this particular challenge, this financial challenge of $1.25 million, within the heart, within the context of what we've been trying to do as a parish regarding the new evangelization and the stewardship way of life. We usually think about stewardship as what I need to give to. All right? So this is the requirement. This is the commandment. This is the precept. And so I have to do my duty. Well, the new evangelization, what's new about it is that it's not duty-driven discipleship. It's personal, passionate discipleship. Personal, passionate love that's in one's heart because one has encountered Christ in such a way that they're different now. That Christ is relevant in their lives. And so it's like once you experience that in a deeper way and you're reinvigorated, what do you want to do now? It's like, what can I do? It's not what I have to do. That's really been the focus. That's what we've been wanting. Whether that's through an extra program that's going on in the church or just through the sacraments where we encounter Christ day in and day out. And so this new evangelization motivated stewardship way of life, holding this $1.25 million, this need, giving to a need, in a healthy tension of what the new evangelization is about, which is the need to give. The need to give because I've been affected in such a way that now my life's different and I've got to give. Look at all of the individuals that encounter Christ in the Gospels. Their lives are transformed and different. Matthew, what's he do? He meets Christ. Christ says, follow me. He leaves everything immediately and follows him. This wasn't done out of duty. This was done because he was touched in a very personal, passionate way. And that's what the Lord wants to do in our own, in our lives. So holding this tension, giving to a need and the need to give. And so as part of this process, I asked the new evangelization council and the pastoral council to prayerfully consider some questions personally and with their families. And so to take home some questions and talk to their spouses and their families about matters that relate to one's relationship with God and to the way that they offer their gifts, their money. Difficult conversations, right? talking about a courageous conversation, that would definitely be one. That's two things where our values touch on the greatest, and so we protect them. And it was amazing as they came back and they shared their experiences of talking with their spouses about these questions, of what came out through that courageous conversation. The three questions I invited them to ask or to talk about and discern were, what more can I do in order to reach the deeper, more personal level of discipleship called forth by the new evangelization? So what we're saying here is the discipleship that's not giving because there's a need, but because I've got a need to give. I've been changed. The second question is, why is this important to me and my relationship to God? Why is this relevant? And the third question, in what ways am I willing to commit to the sacrificial stewardship of this next level discipleship? So they pondered, they prayed, they conversed. And so now the movement is, we're going to move these questions out to the whole parish for you to pray about, to consider, to talk about with your spouses, with your families. The Israelites overcame the Amalekites, who were definitely the favorite, the Israelites being the underdog, through prayer and action. They didn't just go to the Adoration Chapel and pray, and then God rained down hail and destroyed the Amalekites. There was prayer and action. They had to do something and pray. It wasn't just a matter of doing something. When Moses' arms fell, the tide changed. And so for us, what I would like to invite everyone to do, to be a part of, is as a parish, beginning next Sunday, after the 6:30 a.m. Mass, we're going to start a novena to the Holy Spirit. And so next weekend, after all the Masses, there'll be devotional aids that you can take home. If you want to be a part of it and come to the church after the 6:30 a.m. Mass for the 9-day novena, that's great. But you'll also be able to take home the devotional aids to do them by yourself or as a family. And then on Friday, November 9th, we're inviting everyone to be a part of a day of fasting and abstinence. We recognize in the scriptures, in our Christian tradition, the power of fasting to bring down God's assistance and help. The as the pastoral council and the new evangelization council were sharing about their experiences, they also challenged me to have that conversation with myself. What more can I do, and what can I offer? And so I'm not married. If you didn't know. And so I had two choices. I could have that conversation with Daisy, my dog, or with Father Green. And usually Father Green listens better. And so as I was praying and discerning about this, I thought, well, with my large salary, I can contribute $1,000 over this next year. So maybe four quarterly installments of $250. And, okay, now I'm at peace, I can move on. And Father Green was like, I don't know if that's maybe what God's challenging you to. He said, maybe you're being challenged to make the ask, to ask the people. And I was like, I don't like to hear that. Let me tell you why. Because one of the biggest critiques of the faithful about their priests is that priests, they're always asking for money. And so I've prided myself on the fact that I rarely talk about money. And it's been not for the glory of God, but for the glory of John, okay? And so this was like a personal challenge. Our challenge brought about a kind of a personal challenge to me to make myself kind of vulnerable in the sense of asking, because we have an incredible need here. And, you know, making myself susceptible and not being liked, because this is about money. And people, you know, often have resistance about hearing money from the pulpit. That's why I'm not standing at the pulpit. So here's my belief. If all of us take these questions and prayerfully consider them, and we come together and pray, and we fast and abstain, I believe that we're all going to be challenged in a personal way regarding our values, what's important to us, and having those courageous conversations. And we're gonna be personally challenged. But if we can rise to the occasion, I think as a community, We're not just going to overcome our personal challenge and make growth in the spiritual life. We're going to overcome our challenge as a parish and continue to thrive. And so I'm going to ask now that the ushers, that they would distribute these prayer cards. So there's a prayer on the front that I composed for this challenge, and then the individual questions, and then some ways that you can prayerfully concern and consider and discern the three questions that I've invited you to. And now my part is finished.